Political ad. Woo! Hey, greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We've got a few global warming stories to cover. And, of course, the Bush administration spending $250 billion to purchase ownership in some major U.S. banks. That's a major socialism milestone. And what else? The homosexuals in Holland who are intentionally infecting men with HIV, and they're on trial now. Of course, that's been happening in the U.S. for quite a few years. It's known in the homosexual community, although this was not voluntary. But in the U.S. homosexual community, you have bug seekers and gift givers, right? The homosexual men who are HIV positive, who will go to gay bars and bathhouses and social events and offer to infect young men with HIV. They're the gift givers, and then the bug seekers are the homosexuals who want to become HIV positive. And way back when, back 14 years ago on the air, we talked about the dangers and the attitude about AIDS that lead to that kind of insanity. And so what else is in the news worth talking about? Well, then we have the sex offenders, the child sex offenders in Maryland who have to put a symbol on their front door for Halloween to warn families to stay away from their homes. That's an interesting story. So where do we start with all this interesting information? Well, the global cooling story is, global warming story is just struggling this week. It's been a cold week, and in California, in Oregon, in Alaska, in California, you know, Mendocino County, where they grow grapes for wine. A record cold snap there. Temperatures dropped to 31 degrees, the coldest since record keeping began in 1893. And so that doesn't seem too cold, right? But when you're growing grapes, that's a concern. Could ruin your whole day if your crop freezes. And then also in Oregon, in the East Oregonian newspaper, cold temperatures set several new record lows this weekend, including a low of 22 degrees in Pendleton that broke a 118-year-old record of 24 degrees. So it's getting colder. What's with this? And then in Alaska, this is funny, glaciers grew this year. Thanks to colder weather, glaciers did not recede, they grew. And I don't know about you, if you've ever climbed a glacier. I've climbed a glacier. I've climbed a glacier way back in the late 1970s, back when the Alcan Highway was dirt. My friends and I drove the Alcan Highway in my Ford Econoline extended van. And what is that, well over 1,000 miles of a dirt road? You try... I mean, 1,000 miles on a dirt road is enough to drive you crazy. And it drove us crazy. In the middle of the 1,000 miles, it's over 1,000. I forget how long the Alcan Highway was from basically Vancouver to the border of Alaska through British Columbia and the Yukon. And about halfway through, there was a paved stretch of 10 to 20 miles. And when we hit that pavement, we felt like we were in paradise. We thought we had died and gone to heaven. And when the pavement ended and it resumed the dirt travel, we stopped. 1,500, it's over 1,500 miles. Thank you to one of our producers here. 1,522 miles, 1,522 miles, the Alcan Highway of dirt. Dirt. Dirt got in everything. In fact, it seemed like if you cracked open a hard-boiled egg, there was already dust inside the egg. That's what it was like. And we got to the end of the stretch of pavement where it was paved, and we actually stopped. We didn't want to proceed. We thought about turning around and just driving back and forth for an hour on the pavement, just for the fun of it. But we got to Alaska and had a great time in Alaska, went all the way up to Manly Hot Springs, which is the furthest north we could drive on public roads back then in the late 70s. I don't know if you could drive to Barrow once in a while these days. Just within the edge of the Arctic Circle there? I don't know. Could you do that these days, drive that far on public roads? I'm not sure, but back then, Manly Hot Springs was as far north as you could go, north of Fairbanks. And it was funny because people in Alaska, they didn't have bathtubs. I mean, people who were well off. And at Manly Hot Springs, they had pools, and there were hot springs there, and so the pools were warm. And people, families, they had airplanes. They would fly in to take a bath. I just thought that was interesting. They'd fly to Manly Hot Springs while we were there. We didn't want to leave there because they had a restaurant there. And they'd fly in to take a bath and then fly home. Why not? Well, during those travels, there was a glacier that was accessible through this family's private property. And it was a big glacier. And we went up and knocked on the door. And they said, well, it's $10 a person to cut through their yard to go to the glacier. And we had a few of us. And we're broke, you know, teenagers, Christians back in the late 70s. And so the purpose of our trip was actually to go to California, to go to Chuck Smith's church in Costa Mesa, California, to study the Bible there for the summer, which we did, but went to Alaska just as a side trip. And so I remember saying to the lady of the house, look, you know, we're a bunch of poor teenagers, and we can't afford that, but we'll give you $10 and for the group, and if that's okay, great, otherwise. And she said, no, we can't do that. I said, okay, well, this $10 bill I held in my hand, I said, this $10 bill is now leaving for the lower 48. You will never see it again. And she said, oh, all right, go ahead. She took the $10. And so we went to the glacier, and there were a few other families there, tourists, trying to climb on the glacier. And it was hard because it's like a huge mountain of ice. How do you get on the glacier? And if you could get on it, then perhaps you could hike around on it. It's huge. And so we worked together, and actually three of us out of six, we managed to get on the glacier. And we told the others couldn't get on. We said, well, we're going to hike around for a while, and you know, we'll see in a little bit. Well, it was harrowing. It was a harrowing experience, and we actually thought we might not make it. We hiked in and upward on this glacier, which is like a frozen major river. Imagine the Mississippi River, but as a mountain, and it's long, like, I don't know, miles in length, perhaps. And we were in the middle, up high, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in, and we got ourselves into a place where we were not sure how to get off the glacier. Because there are hills that are like cliffs, and you can't hold on. It's just all ice. And then there were these very smooth slopes, and they were beautifully blue, like as blue could be. And it was, there were formations in the glacier where they sloped gradually from both sides, and they'd go down 40, 50, 60 feet down, and they'd gradually get narrower and narrower to where they're just, the two sides are inches apart. At the top, they might be 8 feet apart. So if you slipped into one of those, what would happen to you? You go down 40 feet until you don't fit anymore. And then you're scrunched and wedged 40 feet below the surface on a glacier. And there were these things, and there were cliffs, and we thought, okay, we want to get over there, but we're teenagers. We're idiots. We're morons. That's what we are. We're morons. We don't know. We're from New Jersey. We thought, oh, it'd be fun to climb on a glacier. And we think, well, we want to go over there, but we can't go over there because this is a cliff here. It's a cliff, and it's an ice cliff. And we have, what did they call them back then, sneakers? Today, everything is shoes. We had sneakers on, tennis shoes. And so we decided, well, let's start following this stream because this stream will lead us off the glacier. No matter where it goes, we don't care how far away we are from our car, that lady who wanted the money, our friends, don't matter. Just let's follow this stream. Well, we're following the stream, and this is now an hour and a half after we got up there. And we're on a stream on a mountain of ice. We're following a stream. And guess what the stream does? It gradually gets bigger and digs into the glacier. And so we're walking on the edges of the stream, but they're slippery. And eventually all three of us have slipped into the stream, and we're walking in the stream on a mountain of ice, and it's difficult even just to walk out of the stream. And so the stream, it might lead us off the glacier, but we come to a place where it's a cliff and the stream becomes a little waterfall. And it was harrowing. The entire experience was harrowing. So when we read about glaciers, you know, glaciers, they're cool. They're frozen rivers, old remnants of the ice age. And they tend to melt. Because there was an ice age when the continents were covered mostly with ice. And aren't you glad the continents are not covered mostly with 50 feet, 100 feet, hundreds of feet of ice today? Aren't you glad? I'm glad. And there was no industrial revolution back when the ice melted in the ice age. So for Al Gore and the liberals to be beside themselves, and hypocrites, by the way, they certainly have as big a carbon footprint as anyone else, if not bigger, according to all kinds of reports, especially Al Gore. But the glaciers receded. By the way, atheist, evolutionist, old earth geologist, they don't know how the ice age could form. They don't know how it could happen. We know, Christians who study the Bible, we know how it could happen. They don't. Because they have a problem. You're not going to get an ice age unless it's very cold. Is that obvious to you? That should be obvious to all of us, right? It needs to be very cold. Otherwise, the ice will melt. But on the other hand, if it's very cold, you don't get precipitation out of the oceans. So there's no rain and snow to build up the massive ice sheets across the continents. So it needs to be hot in order to have the precipitation, and it needs to be very cold for the ice to form. Globally, they don't know how to do that. We do. Read Walt Brown's book, In the Beginning. Dr. Walt Brown, MIT engineer, taught science for years at the Air Force Academy here in Colorado Springs. Walt Brown is a dear friend of Bob and Yurt Live. We sell his book, In the Beginning, by Dr. Walt Brown. And you could call us, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278, and you'll find out the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, the Mid-Oceanic Ridge, the crust of the earth cracked around the entire globe, and the waters from beneath the crust of the earth, the waters from beneath the crust of the earth broke open. The Bible says that the fountains of the great deep broke forth, and water from below the crust of the earth came up onto the earth and resulted in a global flood. Now, I know that scientist who will tell you that Mars had a global flood, Mars, where there's no liquid water on Mars, they'll say Mars had a global flood, but the earth, which is covered two-thirds with water miles deep, oh, the earth could never have a global flood, never. No, never, of course not. There'd have to be water on Earth for that to happen. And if there were a global flood, you'd expect to find sea fossils on the tops of the mountain ranges. You'd expect to find seashells on the tops of all the major mountain ranges in the world. Of course, there was no global flood. Not only that, you'd expect a half mile deep of sedimentary layers on continents all over the earth. You'd expect that. So, of course, there couldn't have been a global flood on this earth. And you'd expect billions of dead things laid down in water, fossilized all over the world. You'd expect to find that, too, in massive fossil graveyards. So, of course, there couldn't have been a global flood on Earth. Anyway, oh, yeah, and you'd expect the cultures of the world to all tell stories of a global flood anciently. So all these, you know, if a global flood actually happened, you'd expect all that. So the global flood, the waters from underneath the crust of the Earth came up and flooded the Earth, and the story is laid out absolutely perfectly in Walt Brown's book, In the Beginning. Certainly somebody could call in. We could talk it through. If you go to our website, kgov.com, search for Walt Brown Week, we have a CD that you can buy, or you could listen for free online at kgov.com, search for Walt Brown. And we did five shows in a row. The fifth show was a Q&A question and answer show with the audience. And that was a lot of fun, including evolutionists. And so the creationist can explain how the continents rose up out of the water and got thicker and narrower because of the mid-Atlantic Ridge and the Atlantic Ocean lifting up and the Pacific Ocean getting sucked down where the Atlantic lifted up. And so we had high continents, which caused them to cool down, like being in Leadville, Colorado, cold. And the oceans were hot because of the water from under the crust of the Earth, and that caused an ice age. And that endured for some centuries after the flood until gradually the Earth returned to a homeostasis, a more temperate climate, and the ice gradually melted without the aid of the automobile. The ice melted. And so there are remnants around the world, especially in northern latitudes, where there are glaciers. And the glaciers at times will melt more quickly. At other times, they'll melt more slowly. Sometimes they'll grow, like they did this year. According to the Anchorage Daily News, 200 years of glacial shrinkage in Alaska. And then came the winter and summer of 2007-2008. Unusually large amounts of winter snow were followed by unusually chilly temperatures in June, July, and August. And then they quote a scientist with the U.S. Geological Survey, a glaciologist, Bruce Molnia. And he said, in mid-June, I was surprised to see snow still at sea level in Prince William Sound. On the Juneau ice field, there was still 20 feet of snow, of new snow, on the surface of the Taku Glacier in late July. At Bering Glacier, a landslide I'm studying, located at about 1,500 feet elevation, that did not become snow-free until August. In general, the weather this summer was the worst I've seen in the last 20 years. It has been a long time on most glaciers since they've actually had positive mass balance. And he says that's similar on a lot of other glaciers, too. So that's cool. And now the global warming alarmists are taking a fit that it's been cold. They're taking a fit that they said that the Arctic Ocean would have melted, the ice would have melted, and actually we increased the amount of ice from a couple years ago to till today by tens of thousands of square miles of more ice on the North Pole. And they're saying, oh, wait a minute. We never said we're going to have global cooling. We just said the weather's going to change. Well, guess what, guys? The weather always changes. And guess what else? You did too say it's global cooling. Sorry, you can't have global cooling and say that you were right. You said global warming. And so now there are 31,000 scientists in America, 31,000 scientists who have signed a petition saying that there is no evidence of man-made global warming. And by the way, those 31,072 American scientists who've signed this, 9,021 of them have PhDs. And I looked on the list. You could search the list online. It's at petitionproject.org. I looked on the list to see if I could find a scientist that I know that I could check with, and sure enough, Dr. Ed Holroyd, formerly with the USGS for 20 years, and his name was on there. And sure enough, he signed the petition. And you can't even sign it online, if I understood the process right. You've got to print it out, sign it, send it in, and then they check. They check to find out what university, what government agency you work at, what is your specialty, what is your degree, where did you get your degree. And so these are good numbers. 31,072 American scientists have signed the anti-global warming petition at petitionproject.org. So the glaciers are getting bigger in Alaska. And as far as I'm concerned, they were big enough as it was. They didn't have to get bigger. If the glaciers shrank, that was perfectly fine with me. I couldn't care less if the glaciers shrunk. Some people might prefer an ice age. And we have evolutionists and atheists like Stephen Hawking, who says, you know, maybe we should go to the moon or Mars to avoid global warming. The moon or Mars. And they probably forget that there's no oxygen on the moon or Mars. And there's no water, liquid water. And it gets to what? 150 degrees? 200 degrees? They're talking about global warming? What, the average temperature is 78 instead of 77 and a half? They're insane. And they're not challenged by the media. Wouldn't you at least go to Antarctic before you'd go to the moon to escape global warming? These people are crazy. Our phone number here at Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. Wow, what a political ad. It's just stunning. It's stunning. American Right to Life Action sent me a copy of this full-page newspaper ad they are considering running. And it's absolutely stunning, exposing John McCain of being pro-abortion. And it's stunning. It's got a chart in it comparing McCain and Obama on key issues regarding abortion. And it is stunning how pro-abortion, how many hundreds of thousands of kids John McCain has paid for, funded surgical abortions, and how many millions upon millions upon millions he advocates killing, funding. Just, it's startling. It's all startling. And are you surprised that you've been lied to? What did Jesus say? If possible, even the elect would be deceived? And it's happening, right? It happens. So American Right to Life is attempting to raise some funds to run this in some local newspapers. Of course, it's expensive, full-page ads. And so they're looking for people with donations of $1,000 or more. And that's, what an exciting project. What an exciting project. Wow. Is their number here? Yeah, look. 1-888-888-ARTL. That's easy. American Right to Life. Action. 1-888-888-ARTL. 1-888-888-ARTL for American Right to Life. $1,000 or more, or you could go online, ARTLAction.com, ARTLAction.com. And wow, if that ad ran, it might run also in other cities. If people see it and say, hey, I want this to run in some city back in Maryland or back in some battleground state. Hey, wait, Colorado is a battleground state. That'll be interesting. Okay. And so we have a $250 billion purchase of private banks underway. The Bush administration will spend $250 billion buying ownership stakes in major U.S. banks. You know, this is an aggressive socialist move, and it would have been fiercely resisted, even probably by Mike Rosen, I imagine, KOA Radio, the pro-pornography, what, a libertarian Republican on KOA Radio. It would have been aggressively resisted, fiercely resisted, if a Democratic administration had proposed it. But it's the Republican Bush White House, and they consider ownership stakes in banks as a good idea, and they say it's a temporary measure. But since when do we believe that a socialist milestone will be a temporary measure? Why would we believe that? And since when does the government do something wrong and then reverse itself? So $250 billion upon the, and add that to the multi-billion dollar socialist entitlement program that the Bush administration gave us with prescription drugs, where the government takes money from young, struggling families and buys prescription drugs, giving money to the pharmaceutical industry for senior citizens who typically are more well off than struggling families with one, two, three, four, five kids. So that's socialism, right? And then we also got faith-based initiatives, which conservatives, Christians, were against socialist entitlement, welfare programs. We're against that until we found out we could get a cut. We could get a cut. They dole the money out through churches. And so then all of a sudden, our Christian leaders in the country were supportive of these socialist welfare-like programs. And they said, hey, the churches could get a cut. We shouldn't be against this anymore. Bush is in the White House, Republican. We should support this. And many churches like Denver Bible Church that I pastor oppose that on principle. Stealing is wrong. Even if the pastor gets a cut, it's still wrong. But then also we recognize that it's the liberal churches that would be professional at getting millions, tens of millions of dollars out of the federal government to dole out for their liberal, godless, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual agenda. And, of course, that's happening. So never fear, the Republicans are here. All right, guys? Sleep well tonight. The Republicans are here. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school.